kids are exiting, I need to tell you a little something that happened to me last week. I was at a meeting, and the meeting got over. I was here at the church, and the meeting got over. And I needed to call my wife, her name is Lana, to tell her that I didn't need a ride home because I was going to get a ride home. So I asked Jonna, you all know Jonna, wave your hand, Jonna's here. I asked Jonna if I could borrow her phone to call my wife. Great, she hands me her phone. Beep, boop, beep, boop, boop. I dial my number. My daughter, Leah, answers. She's 11. I was a little surprised because I thought she was going to be at an activity. So I said, oh, hi, so I guess you decided not to go to the activity. Uh-huh. So, everything okay? Uh-huh. Okay, well, I was just calling to let you know I don't need a ride home. Uh-huh. So, can I talk to Mom? Uh-huh. Like, okay, so she takes the phone over to my wife, Lana, and I said, hey, Lana, how's it going? Hello? It's like, man, she must have been sleeping or something, or crying. I was like, what's wrong with her? And I say, Lana, are you okay? Who? And in that moment, the world started spinning around me, and I felt like I was in an episode of The Twilight Zone. Like, what happened to my family? And I said, I'm sorry, I think I have the wrong number. And everyone in the room had been half listening, and they just started busting up laughing. So I look, and I had dialed my phone number. And I look at Jonna, and I say, Jonna, you live like 3 blocks from me, right? You are in the 763 area code, right? And she said, yeah, but my phone's a 612. Oh, that would have been nice to know before I dial. So there I am. I'm having a conversation with my family. But I was in the wrong area code. And I got thinking about that this week, and I thought, you know, I think maybe that's what it's like with prayer for us. Have you ever had a problem with prayer? Maybe prayer seems a little foreign to you or uncomfortable, like talking to a God that you can't see. Or maybe you have been talking to God and it doesn't seem like he's listening. Or even worse, doesn't seem like he cares. Well, maybe part of our problem with prayer is that we're going through the right motions, but we're in the wrong area code. And so this morning we're going to look at the gospel that was read at Luke chapter 11 as we continue our study through the gospel of Luke. And we're going to see Jesus is praying, and so his disciples come up to him and they ask him an important question. They say, Lord, teach us to pray. I'm like, sweet, because we would all want to ask that same question of Jesus too. And so Jesus answers them, and he tells them, this is how you should pray. And these words are very familiar to us. If you were listening during the reading, did you recognize the words that Jesus spoke? We call it the Lord's Prayer. And every week we recite it, but we recite Matthew's version of it. But this is Luke's version of it. And whenever you come across a very familiar passage in Scripture, I'm going to give you a Bible study tip. In order for it to become fresh to you, read it in a different translation. And a little trick that I like to use is I like to take the English words and put them in the order of the Greek language in which they were originally written. And when you do that, it ends up sounding a little bit like Yoda. Here's what I mean. The actual literal word order says this. Let be holy the name of you. Hmm? No, okay, I won't do that. Let be holy the name of you. Let come the kingdom of you. Give us the sustaining bread for the day. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into the temptations or trials. That's the literal text. And you know, I don't think that Jesus gave us this prayer to be something that we just mindlessly recite. I actually think that these are 5 categories that Jesus gave us, you know, like kind of bins to put our prayers into. And so I've organized these around the 5 asks, because there's 5 key words there that are saying, God, do this. And they are, you know, let be holy something, let come something, give us something, forgive us something, and lead us not into something. And as human beings, I think we have a tendency to hear what we want to hear. You think that's true? Somebody says something. It's kind of like we hear these words from our own area code. And so I want to look at two different area codes. I want to first look at how the Jewish disciples of Jesus, the first disciples, may have heard Jesus' words. And I want to look at how maybe we hear these words. So let's look at how maybe Jesus' original disciples heard these five categories. When Jesus said, "Let holy be your name," his disciples said, "Yeah, we do that all the time." See, the Jews, they were so reverent about the name of God, they wouldn't even say it. You know, God's name is Yahweh. But the Jews were so afraid of taking that in vain that they wouldn't speak it. And so they took the word Lord and they inserted those words in between the word Yahweh, and they made up a word, Jehovah. Jehovah's not even a word. It's something that the Jews made up so that they could not mess up his name. So they kind of removed themselves from the name of God. They made it so holy it was distant. But then the next bin, "Let come your kingdom." They're like, "Yeah, that's why we're following you, Jesus. Your kingdom come." Because, you know, Jesus, it has been 1,000 years since David and Solomon were on top of the world. Israel was a superpower 1,000 years ago, and we want that kingdom to come back. And it's been 500 years since we've even had a legitimate king on the throne. Jesus, we are following you to Jerusalem so that you can oust the Romans and establish your kingdom. So yes, your kingdom come. Next bin, "Give us daily bread." Yeah, we want daily bread. Because through Jewish ears, the first thing they would have thought of was going back to the story of Moses. They're like, "Jesus, you're the new Moses. You're going to lead us out of the slavery of Egypt, which is now the Romans. And Moses gave us what? What was the daily bread in Moses' story? Manna. Daily bread." So like, sweet, we're with you, Jesus. God's name holy. Your kingdom come, out with the Romans. Daily bread. "Forgive us our sins." Yeah, that's why we make the sacrifices. Because without our sins forgiven, we can't enter that kingdom. "And then lead us not into trials." I think they probably meant, lead us not into more persecution under the Romans. So that was the disciples' area code. Now let's switch to our area code. We are American suburban disciples. How do we hear these categories when we hear the Lord's Prayer? "Let holy be your name." Do we even know God's name? You know, God is not a name. It's a label. And as products of the modern world, I think God has become either a God that is so far up there and out there that it's really hard to relate, or has been reduced to just a set of ideas. So it's easy to set aside the name of God because it's just out there. And then when Jesus said, "Let come your kingdom," when we think of the kingdom of God, I think our natural tendency is to say, "I want to go to heaven when I die. Your kingdom come." Or, "Jesus, when you return, you're going to establish your kingdom." So what we have is a God who's way up there, holy and whoop, out of touch, and a kingdom that's way down there in the future. And where that leaves us today is kind of on our own. Which leaves us to the third category, "Give us." Oh, we like this category. "Give us. Give me." And what do we usually pray for as American suburban Christians? Comfort. Health, prosperity, protection from scary people. And toys. Lots of toys. And "forgive us our sins." Yeah, because, you know, we all mess up and we want to go to heaven when we die. And then "lead us not into trials." Let us be comfortable. We really don't want to have anything messing with it. I think maybe that's how we hear it in our area code. But let's try to hear what Jesus was saying when he gave us these categories. He said, let holy be your name. But first of all, he said, Father. There's this Abba intimacy with God. But then, you know what the name of God is? Yahweh. That name, see, a name is not a label. A name represents the very essence and the being and the agenda of someone. The name Yahweh has built within it the idea that God is not just the creator. He is not just out there, but God is right here. The Trinity is present within that name. God is the creator of life, the sustainer of life, the always creating and sustaining life. The name of God. And when you make something holy, it means you set it apart. It means you focus on it. And so when Jesus said, let holy be your name, he's saying focus on the very being of God, which is life itself, always creating, always sustaining, life now. That is the nature of God. You know, God is always at work around us, always. Let come your kingdom. A kingdom is not a plot of real estate. Did you know that? It's not space and time. A kingdom, now hear this, a kingdom is relational influence. A kingdom is when a king has subjects and the subjects carry out the will of the king. So when Jesus said, your kingdom come, he was saying, pray this, Father God, who is all about life, let my will line up with your will so that I can be about what you're about now. And what is the kingdom of God? What is God's will that we're supposed to know? You see, each gospel writer had their own little slant on the kingdom of God. And we're studying Luke. And we find out the agenda of the kingdom in Jesus' very first words in the gospel, his first preaching. If you want to turn to Luke 4, Jesus, the very first message that Jesus gave, tells us what his kingdom is all about. He actually was standing in the synagogue and he was quoting the prophet Isaiah. And he said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring, you ready? Good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. You see, the kingdom of God is all about bringing life to everyone because that's the nature of God. And so our job is to look around and say, God, what are you doing? Help me line up with it. Now drop that down to the third category. Give us. What does he say? Give us daily bread. That is our needs. See, now this hits right to the heart of the American suburban disciple. Because I think it talks about a malady that we all suffer from that I call wanteritis. Wanteritis is the inflammation of the wanter gland. I want that. I want that. I want that. And our whole social, political, economic system is built upon the inflammation of the wanter gland. We create products and we market them and sell them and it just perpetuates itself and we consume them. Because here's the truth. You don't just want an iPod, you need an iPod. And you don't just want a car, you need a car. And you don't just want beer, you need beer. Because without an iPod, how would you stay in touch with your friends and your music? You might die. And without a car, you won't get the girls that's like over the hood of the car.
Or you won't get the guy checking you out when you're driving the car.
And if you don't have beer, it just won't be fun. And you won't know how to relax. How would you survive? Wanteritis.
I was talking about this with my kids, and I was asking them, we kind of brainstormed, what are our needs as human beings? I mean, really, what do we need? What is our daily bread? And there's really four things. We need clean water. We need clean water. We will die without it. We need proper nutrition, because that feeds our natural, God-designed immune system, and we will fight off most infection and we'll be pretty much healthy. And we need shelter from extremes. We can't freeze to death, and we can't die of heat exposure. Now, anything in between is just luxury. Then there's a fourth thing. We need love. We need loving, nurturing relationships with another human being. It's been proven that it is a need. Give us our daily bread. So how are we doing in our needs department? You see, I think that we pray for daily bread so that we're not distracted by needs, because when our needs are met, then we can focus on helping those who can't meet their needs, because that's what God's kingdom is all about. You see, a social, political, economic system that is built around making sure that everyone has water, food, shelter, and love, that's the kingdom of God. And that's what God is about. And that's what we're supposed to be about. Then we go down to the fourth bin, forgive us our sins. Well, yeah. It literally means put aside all shortcomings, because we all got them. Don't we all want to be let off the hook? So let's review. Father, your name, your very essence, I put in focus in front of me. Let my will line up with your will so your kingdom will come. Meet my needs so that I can help meet the needs of others. And forgive me. Does that sound like the same area code that I originally said, that how we pray? So the question for us is, how? How do we move from our area code into Jesus' area code? Now, if you've been paying attention and following along, you'll notice I left something out. I left out a phrase in the Lord's Prayer. I left it out because I organized the categories around asks. And you'll see under forgive us, there's one phrase that's not an ask. It's a tell. It's a statement of fact. Jesus said, forgive us our sins just as indeed we forgive everything owed to us. Can you say that? Can you honestly say that that is how you live? When Jesus' disciples heard this in their area code, they're saying, that doesn't line up. Because Jesus, we're about to root out the Romans. We're about to bring in your kingdom, and I don't forgive them. I thought you were going to start a rebellion and throw them out. Well, you know what? Jesus did do that. But when he marched into Jerusalem to bring his kingdom, he let the Roman Empire arrest him, beat him, and nail him to an execution stake. And he allowed the religious leaders to mock him and scorn him. And as he was suffering all of this injustice, what did he say as he's hanging on the cross? Father, forgive them. You see, that's when the kingdom of God breaks out. Because the key to the kingdom of God is forgiveness. Just like I told the kids in the children's sermon, when we don't forgive, what happens inside of us? Bitterness starts to fester in our soul. And bitterness turns to hatred. And hatred turns to violence. And violence turns to war. And war turns to famine and poverty, which leads to death, which is the opposite of the kingdom of God. It's the opposite of the nature of God. So there's two really practical questions for us today. Number one, how's your wanter gland? How's your wanteritis level? How much do your wants match up with your needs? Because I think if we could see our actual spirit, our wants or our glands would be so big, we would be blind to the needs of others or unable to meet them. And the second question is, who do you need to forgive today? Now there's one last category. He said, lead us not into trial or temptation. And I think in the context of Jesus' area code, I think the greatest temptation that we have is to believe that it's our kingdom and that it's all about me. You know, I'm going to leave you with one final picture. Every week, we gather together and we come before this table to the presence of Christ and his body and his blood. And we do two things before we come to this table. One is we pass the peace. Do you know that that's more than a meet and greet? That's more than a time to say, peace, dude. It's more than that. The reason that that is in the liturgy is because of this. The key to the kingdom of God is forgiveness. It is a chance for us. It's built into the liturgy to remind us that if we are not at peace with one another, we cannot receive the gift of forgiveness that Jesus gives us. It's not about earning it. It's not about pettiness. God's saying, I give you my forgiveness, but if you don't forgive each other, you're not open to me. And then right before we come to the table, what do? We pry open our hands and we grab the hands of the person next to us. And we pray, Father in heaven, let be holy your name. And then we get down to the phrase, forgive us as we forgive others. So the challenge is, how can we let the inner posture of our heart match the external behavior of our ritual? So in response to this, let's stand together, and Scott's going to lead us in a song as we prepare for the table.